The Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 1 through 19. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." As a second time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And Peter said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. And after he said this, he said to him, "Follow me." The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I love this scripture. I think this is one of my, if not my favorite, post-resurrection scene. My favorite time that Jesus has come to the disciples. And yes, part of it is because I like to fish so much. And right here in the Bible, it says, Peter said to the others, "I'm going fishing." And so whenever I need to quote scripture, I go to that one. I'm going fishing, y'all. Come along if you want. But I love this scripture. It means so much. John, of course, always writes on multiple levels. There's a surface level, and then there's deeper levels and meanings to the words that John writes. This story is no different. On the surface, this is, and a little deeper as well, this story of Peter professing his love to Jesus is a direct response and mirror to Jesus, to Peter denying Jesus 3 times as well. This is a redemption story for Peter. If you'll recall in the earlier stories in the gospel at the Last Supper, Jesus says, "One of you will betray me." Peter says, "Well, it's not going to be me." Jesus says, "Well, yeah, actually it will be. Not only will you deny me once, but you'll deny me 3 times all before the cock crows." No, not me. Peter is so sure in his faith, this is not something that is possible. He would never deny knowing Jesus. And then after Jesus' arrest, some of his beatings, when he's brought into trial, someone asks Peter, "Don't you know this guy?" He says, "No. Never seen him before. Don't arrest me too." I'm not affiliated with that guy. Three times, Peter denies Jesus. And the scriptures say, just as he denies him that third time, the cock crows. And Peter is filled with this dread that this prophecy of Jesus has come true. I imagine that is why Peter is on this shore. Sure, Jesus has come to the disciples. Peter has run to the tomb and found it empty, has heard these stories, seen Jesus in the upper room with them, walking through locked doors. Peter has experienced Jesus Christ risen, but yet there's still that deep shame for remembering that he denied him on the night of his arrest and execution. And so I picture Jesus, I picture Peter on that shore, all of these feelings, that shame, weighing heavy on him. And Peter's always this person of action. He does what he needs to do. He says, I'm going fishing. Now, I don't think that this is Peter returning to his old life. You know, Peter was one of those professional fishermen. He grew up and was working along this very sea. Perhaps he recognized that good fishing ground right over there where they happened to stay. This is not Peter returning to his old life. I think this is Peter sitting in his feelings, those big feels that he's had, and needing to do something. I can't sit here in my dread and my shame any longer. I cannot simply be here thinking and feeling and experiencing all of these negative feelings. I got to go do something. And I need to do something that makes me forget those things, that makes me feel important and good. And I think that's important for us to remember. There are times all of us get in our feelings. We have big feels. We're ashamed of the things that we've done or the things that we said. We think, oh, how did I treat that person? It hurts us, weighs heavy on us. It's in those times where we need to find those things that make us rejuvenated. It was fishing for Peter. And it's in those times where we are able to go back and do the things that we do that Jesus meets us. Jesus walks along the shore after they've been out all night catching nothing and has this conversation with them. Jesus meets them at that place where Peter is seeking solitude and respite from his own thoughts and shame. And it's at that point that this deep, incredible miracle happens. They catch all these fish. And this is one of the scriptures that I know that John, the fisherman, wrote this gospel. Because anybody else probably wouldn't have mentioned how many fish there were, or that they were large fish. Only a fisherman. We caught so many, and they were all big. All big. You know the fish picture pose? Yeah, hold it out so it looks bigger. Yeah. It's a depth thing. John holds these 153 fish out so they look large. This is a big miracle. The disciple whom Jesus loved, probably John, says and recognizes that it's Jesus and says this out to the Lord, to Peter, it is the Lord. And so Simon jumps out. He's so excited to see Jesus that he puts on his shirt, swims 100 yards back to the shore. His shame has been so deep, and this opportunity to meet Jesus once again is so deep. He swims 100 yards. Have you ever tried to swim 100 yards? You thought about it? I was a young boy once. I thought about swimming a long way. It's usually you get about halfway and you're like, I can't do that. This is awful. You got to turn around. My brother was smarter. He'd swim around the lake instead of just trying to go out deep and come back. This is a long way to swim. Peter has felt this passion for Jesus, this opportunity to say, I'm sorry, this opportunity to make right, to put aside his shame, that he does this incredible, crazy thing and swims 100 yards. They have this meal. We don't really have time to get into everything, but Jesus is always feeding people, isn't he? Always. Strangers, rich people, tax collectors, disciples, prostitutes, sinners, Jesus meets them around tables. I like that we eat a lot here in our church. I think we're doing what Jesus would have us to do. Jesus feeds these disciples, and then we get to the point of this story. Jesus asks Peter three times, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Do you love me? And Peter three times says, yes, I do. But the third time he's hurt that he has to keep asking him over and over again, yes, you know that I love you. And in the story, Jesus does not simply look at Peter and say, okay, we're good. You said you were sorry. You said that you loved me. We're good. Go do your thing. Jesus says, prove it. If you love me, feed my lambs. Provide nourishment for those young, for the children, for the new and young in faith. Enrich their lives. Tend my sheep. Care for them. Offer them help and resources. May they flourish under you. Feed my sheep. Not just the little ones and the young lambs, but everybody. Give them food. Give them nourishment. May they find the things that they need to grow and become strong. Do these things. If you really love me, you'll do it. It'll be an action, a verb. Saying I love you is easy. Go and prove it. Remember, we said this was a mirror from Peter's denial of Jesus. I said in the Sunday school class, Peter denying Jesus was a big word and a little action. Didn't take much. It's like, I don't know him. It was a big, loud word. Here, asking Peter if he loves him flips it. It's a simple, easy word. Yes, I love you. But Jesus expects a big action. If you love me, go and do something about it. And I often wonder if Jesus is still asking us that question. Do you love me? If there's a reason Jesus has asked us, do you love me? And you can decide who needs to hear this. I think I need to hear this sometime. This isn't a get the log out of your speck out of your neighbor's eye and forget the log in your own. I don't know if you as an individual, if you as a person, if we as a community, as a church, if we as a country, if Jesus is asking us this question still, do you love me? Again, it's easy to say yes. But are we feeding Christ's lambs? Are we tending his sheep? Are we feeding his sheep? Does Jesus have to ask us three times over and over again, do you love me? Because of our actions in the past. Do we get frustrated that Christ has asked us over and over again, do you love me? I wonder if Jesus doesn't still ask us because he's already sent us lambs that we've turned away hungry. I wonder if Jesus hasn't had to ask a second time because he sent us sheep that we have not cared for and tended to. Or a third time that frustrates us and gets us upset because Christ continues to send us sheep that we have not fed, that we have not nourished and uplifted. Sheep that we've put down. Do we love Jesus? I think the deeper part of this story, if we go deeper than just the surface level of Peter out fishing, I wonder if it's not a metaphor for Peter starting the church. Peter being that action guy, always needing to do something, sitting for a couple of days and finally pulling up his bootstraps and saying, well, I'm going to go get this started. This church, Jesus called me to be a fisher of men, so I'm going to go fishing. I'm going to start building this church and this community, gathering followers for Jesus. And he just goes out, and he just does it, which is good. Again, we cannot meet Jesus if we're not out doing those things, if we're not trying to bring people in to the gospel, bring people in to the church. And so Peter and the other disciples are out there doing what they think is best and not having any results, not catching people for Jesus, having no luck. And finally, Jesus shows up And he says, you haven't done anything good, have you? It's not made a difference. All of this work all night long, it's done nothing. Cast your net on the right side. And perhaps these aren't actual Finding Nemo fish that are caught. Perhaps this metaphor is what happens when Peter and the church finally listen to Jesus, finally open their hearts to what Christ is directing them to do. It doesn't look much different from what they've been doing. They've been throwing nets all night long. Jesus doesn't say pick up a fly rod. Just keep throwing a net. But do it with my direction. Do it where I tell you to. You've been casting your net over here. Cast it here. And in that sense, they're able to catch these many large fish. And the beauty of the story, the net should have torn. But Christ's church does not tear when we're doing the things that Christ asks us to do, which is feed Christ's lambs, which is tending his sheep, which is feeding his sheep. If we love Christ and we're sure and convicted enough to actually go and do it, to make that love a verb, the catch will be large. The net will not break. But we've got to be sure, and we've got to mean it. And Christ will continue to ask us 3, 4, 50, 153 times if we love him until we actually show him that we do. Amen.